This is One-on-One with the Professional on AM 1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
30 more minutes until 10 o'clock. Evan Farbach with Kurt Mead of Wellspring Life Clinic. Good morning, Kurt. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Evan. Doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. It's nice weather, I suppose. I know it's still foggy, but looking forward to the mid-70s today. We'll try to get outside and do some stuff and hope everyone else does the same today and tomorrow as we
That'll be great.
Some spring-like stuff here.
That'll be super. I think we got some outdoor sports taking place here in the area, and that'll be a good time to play some baseball or whatever.
Yeah, Oklahoma Wesleyan has its first baseball game at home on that's tomorrow afternoon, in fact, so good day to start it off.
Well, that sounds great. I played a couple of years with Wesleyan. It's been a few years ago before it's even it was Bartlesville Wesleyan.
Oh,
I played 2 years and really enjoyed the program. They have a great program out there.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah, baseball team is fantastic. Baseball and soccer, it's kind of
soccer,
specialty there.
Well, this morning, Evan, we're going to talk a little bit about what is the Day of the Lord.
Okay.
Maybe it's kind of like trying to explain the polar ice cap to someone who lives in Oklahoma, or maybe a tornado to someone who lives in a non-tornadic area of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the Day of the Lord, Evan, we have to take more or less a quest. We have to ask ourselves some questions. What is the Day of the Lord? How long does the Day of the Lord last? Is it a 24-hour period, or is it a longer period, a shorter period? And there's some questions we need to ask to really understand the Day of the Lord.
Okay.
And in the Day of the Lord, Evan, it is more than a 24-hour period of time. It encompasses many events, and it encompasses certain time periods, but it's important that we understand how it works and what the purpose of it is.
So not just Sunday.
Not just Sunday. Okay. Not just Sunday. The Day of the Lord is something. It's the second Advent. You know, we just got through celebrating the first Advent, the birth of Christ Jesus, His first coming, and what the Day of the Lord is. It is the second coming. So what we're looking at is a sequence of events which leads up to and includes His second coming. And so, to understand exactly the Day of the Lord, we need to understand. Have you ever done any weather up here at K1?
I have done some weather, yes, sir.
So you've learned a few things about the weather, and maybe even before you started working here, I don't know.
Yeah, I grew up in Wichita, so I knew about some of that.
Okay.
Some of that severe weather type of stuff.
So we have to identify patterns, and we have to identify habits, and we have to look at the known facts. So if we do these things, it will help us to understand the Day of the Lord.
Okay.
And probably one of the best things to understand about the Day of the Lord is to understand the condition in which we live in today, the condition of society. Is the condition a good condition? Is it a bad condition? Is it kind of neutral?
Depends on who you ask.
Depends on who you ask. Yeah. But, you turn on the nightly news, and what are you going to see?
It's usually not positive stuff.
It's almost like a theatrical drama.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think maybe they market it that way, just to maybe, I don't know, pull in more viewers. I don't know, but Evan, it's we have a condition in our society. If we look at the bad elements, it can be rather discouraging.
Yeah, that's true.
And what I was thinking the past few days is to get to a condition, there has to be a conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So, say a hairstylist. If a certain person comes to her salon and they want their hair conditioned in a certain way, there has to be a conditioning.
A conditioner?
A conditioning.
Okay.
There has to be a shaping and a molding of the hair.
Sure.
Say you wanted to dye your hair pink, but you'd have to condition it to get it to accept the pink dye and the elements they're going to put in your hair.
That's true.
So there has to be some prep work. There has to be some structuring, and there has to be some restructuring. So for the Day of the Lord to come about, society has to be headed in a certain direction. There has to be a certain shaping and a molding, and a certain belief system which will usher in or escort in the Day of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
There has to be something taking place to get the people, the general populace, to believe one way. Uh-huh. And there has to be a molding and a shaping, like we talked about earlier. So what we have to get to a point in our society where people are accepting things which are contrary to maybe what is considered norm for the Bible. You know, going contrary and counterproductive items against what is a productive society.
Right.
And more or less, it's what the conditioning we're in, Evan, is kind of like we're a resource-oriented society. We're oriented toward the resource. Right. It's kind of like if you have your phone, and Charlie and I have talked about this, if you don't keep it plugged up to the source, then all you have is the resource, and eventually that resource is going to lose its charge.
Yep, that's right.
So what we have, Evan, is we have all these conditions, and we have all these moldings and shapings which cause a society, causes a nation, causes a world to be bent toward the resource and not toward the source. So the day of the Lord will correct all these things, and the day of the Lord, Evan, it's not a positive thing to talk about, but it's like a universal trial. We talked about that, I believe, last time you and I got together, going to court. Have you ever had to go to court?
I haven't, no, sir.
has that ever been something you wanted to do?
Jury duty sounds like fun, maybe. I don't know. I've never, probably not. Once I got there on TV, it looks fun.
Well, you know, being a juror, maybe being a witness, or the judge, the attorney, that might be all right. But if you have to go to the court being a defendant, that's something that, you know, no. It's probably not too cherishable.
No, not at all.
So you go to court, and that's what the day of the Lord is, Evan. It's a universal trial, and it's a sequence of, so we will understand what the future holds as well as what the current conditions of society hold.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're going to identify some factors, just like I talked about earlier. If you want to get your hair dyed pink, uh-huh. that stylist, she has to identify your hair texture and what will work in your hair, and the shape you want your hair, and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen any? I know you do the sports. Have you ever seen any professional ball players who have weird hairstyles?
Certainly, yes. There's quite a few of them. Most of them have to wear hats or helmets, but basketball, you get to see some wild hairdos sometimes. That's right.
Pretty well out of the norm, don't they?
Yep, some of them are.
And you think it's just something that, I mean, to us, a TV viewer or a sports fan, to us, it didn't look like there's much prep taking place to have a hairstyle like some of them.
That's true, yeah.
But, you know, maybe some of them, they may have spent, their stylist may have spent hours just to get to look that way.
Yeah, they want to poof up that afro. Sometimes it takes a while to comb it out, I think. Yeah.
It does. It takes a while. So to do these things, there has to be a prepping period, and there has to be something taking place. And that's what we're talking about here, Evan, is something that's taking place that's kind of unknown to the general public. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I have no idea what that basketball player is going through to have his hair styled in that way.
Right.
Well, the same way we as people who know about the day of the Lord, we need to understand behind the scenes so we can explain it to those who maybe have very little knowledge about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to present. It's like we're going to court, and then you're the juror, or you're the maybe attorney. I have to present evidence to you to make it believable, so you'll understand and be able to ask me questions. Say, hey, you know, this day of the Lord, what is it? Is exactly what do I expect? What do I need to expect?
Okay.
It's like if you're going to be a juror, you'd kind of want to know aforetime exactly what's going to take place.
That's
maybe
right.
Talk to someone who's been a juror before, or talk mm-hmm. to a friend who's an attorney, or someone who's kind of in the know.
Someone who's been there.
Someone who's been there and it has the professional experience. Well, so what we got to do, Evan, is everything I've laid forth this morning, I have to support my thesis. I have to have some concrete evidence.
Okay.
And it has to be more or less carved in stone.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of something carved in stone, what do you think of?
It's permanent.
Permanent.
Yeah.
You think of... and
gravestone.
Gravestone. You think of maybe the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
This is carved in stone. You have to have something to build your case upon.
Uh-huh.
If I just go to court and I'm an attorney and I'm have a hope... a high profile case, am I just going to walk into court without doing any type of prep work?
I would hope not.
How about if you're the defendant? Would you want your attorney to approach things that way?
Probably not.
No. You and I, we've seen these men and women who they have these high profile cases. You know, I'm sure O.J. Simpson, he tried to probably get the best attorney money could buy.
Yeah.
And these politicians, they try to get the best attorney money can buy. They want a man or a woman who knows exactly what's going on.
And it's well prepared.
It's well prepared.
Yeah.
So if you go to court and I'm your attorney, I'd want to talk to you and I'd want to interview and I'd want to find out, okay, Evan, I need to collect some evidence. You know, what's your side of the story? What exactly took place?
Right.
And you'd lay it all out and you'd tell me why you were jaywalking or whatever you got caught doing. Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't have to go to court for that, but any, you know, while I'm saying anything,
I do jaywalk sometimes. So okay. If that's going to send me there, we'll have to. I might be in court one day.
But so you'd want to know, you know, I'd want to know exactly what the facts are. I'd want to know the evidence and that type of thing, so I could present your case.
Sure.
So once you deliver that to me, then my job would be to not only take the facts, but I'd have to sort the facts. I'd have to put them in order so I would make it presentable to the judge and to the jury. Because you have paid me to be your defendant, to defend you in court, and you've paid me your hard-earned money, so I want to do a good job for you.
Sure.
And it's the same way in this day of the Lord. You interview probably 100 people and ask them what the day of the Lord is, and probably out of that 100, 105 couldn't tell you what it is.
It's probably true.
Because we're very seldom exposed to the day of the Lord, but the Bible talks all the way from Genesis to Revelation about the day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Joel calls it a great and terrible day. Mm-hmm. I wonder why he would call it a great and terrible day. Does that sound like a walk in the park to you?
No. It doesn't. No. Well, it could be if you're on the great side of things, maybe. I don't know.
You know, and if I was your attorney once again, and you came into my office and I was interviewing you, and I'd say, Evan, this doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. How would that make you feel?
Probably not good.
this doesn't look very good at all. I said, we're going to have to build a case, and we're going to have to use the evidence you've given me, and I can't guarantee you anything, but at least I can defend you in court, and I can give you all the options, plea bargaining, or maybe you can plead guilty, or maybe we can have a hung jury. I can give you all the options, but right. when I told you, Evan, this doesn't look good, your heart sinks and thinks, uh-oh, there's going to be something taking place here that I know very little about, and I hope it's not as bad as it sounds.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's the same with the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, Evan, it's something that it doesn't sound good, but if we're prepared for it, it's nothing we need to worry about.
Uh-huh.
Because there will be a final universal trial upon mankind, but then we're told in Luke chapter 21 that day not catch us unawares. You know, what would happen if you'd stumble into court unawares? You know, you've been charged with something and you came in like, have you ever seen Otis on Andy Griffith?
Yes, I have, yes.
You come in like Otis into the jailhouse, into the sheriff's office.
Yeah, he stumbled pretty good.
And I think Otis knew what to expect.
Yes, he did.
He didn't have to wait for Barney or Goober or Gomer or Andy to lock him up. He'd just go over there and open the jail cell and walk right in.
That's exactly right.
And maybe that's good. Maybe he understood he was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one step in the day of the Lord, Evan, is to understand that we all are guilty in the sight of God, and we need to make reconciliation.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why it's so important that we you know, pray for one another. I know we've had some sickness up here at K1. I know certain ones have prayed for individuals, and I know the Lord has honored those prayers, and people have gotten out of the hospital and done different things because of the honor of the righteous judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is not the judge who presides over this case we're talking about. He's not a harsh judge, but he's just and he's fair.
Uh-huh.
He's not one who can be bought with money. He's not one who can be bought with prestige. So we need to understand all these factors as we prepare for this court case.
Yeah.
So do you have any questions or comments before we go on?
I don't. You're doing a good job.
All right. Well, I'll continue on. So what we got to do, you give me your evidence. You're the defendant. You come to me. I'm your attorney. And I have to look at it and I have to say, okay, here's what Evan gave me as evidence. Now, is this evidence, is it reliable? Can I believe Evan? I mean, if I present this in court, is this honest and true? Because I'm going to have to, I'm more or less standing in for you. So I have to look at, okay, is this evidence, is it reliable?
Mm-hmm.
Is this evidence consistent? Is it justifiable? Is it true? Mm-hmm. And then you can tell me all these things. It's, yes, Kurt, I can present the evidence. I can do this. Anything you need, I have it. Well, then you have to make that available to me, because I have to make it available to the court.
Right.
You see, I have documentation. They said I did this on this certain day at this time, and I can prove I wasn't even near there. I was at Walmart doing some shopping. I was buying some sports equipment or whatever. I was taking care of these things. So you have to, whatever you present me, I have to make it available to the court and say, hey, you know, Evan has verifiable proof that he wasn't here when you said he was at this certain situation or certain area of the crime. Mm-hmm. So it has to be available. So those will be the leading indicators that I present in court. And so me being your attorney, I have to have a skillful presentation. You know, you give me all the evidence in the world to prove that you're innocent, but me being your attorney, if I don't have a skillful presentation, I could sink your ship.
That's right.
If I could act like I didn't believe you, and even though you were telling me the truth, I could really hurt your case.
Well, the jury didn't understand you.
Yeah, the jury didn't understand, and then they didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know how to present those key pieces of evidence. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at here is we're going to court, we're preparing our case for the day of the Lord, so there has to be a professional evaluation. You know, if you, in your mind, you know what you want to see, and you know you're innocent, and you know you have all the evidence, all the verifiable evidence, then you want the jury to make a professional evaluation that you are innocent, mm-hmm. that you're not guilty, you didn't do the crime.
Yeah.
No matter how bad or how heavy or how light the crime might be, you don't want that on your record. You don't want to have to face the punishment.
That's right.
Okay, so we lay all this groundwork just to get into the day of the Lord, and this groundwork is necessary, Evan, for the listening audience to understand the components and how the day of the Lord works.
Okay.
So they come to Jesus, and his disciples, they were kind of excited. He started talking about the end times, the end of the age, leading up to the day of the Lord, and they said, Jesus, Master, can you give us some evidence? Can you tell us some things to look for? Mm-hmm. And one of the first things he said was, well, he said, as in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. What do you know about Noah?
He had an ark.
He had an ark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Noah had an ark. Why do you suppose Noah was building that ark?
To save each of those animals.
To save the animals, okay. Yeah. And on that ark, he had him, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't very many people there getting on the ark.
No.
But that didn't mean that he didn't forewarn his society during that day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Because over in the New Testament, Peter called Noah a preacher of righteousness. So if he was a preacher of righteousness, that tells me that he probably proclaimed and he warned the people that there was something coming that they needed to be prepared for.
Right.
And it didn't sound like to me very many people listened.
Nope.
But Jesus said, as in the days of Noah. So two things I see about Noah, Evan. First, the first thing I see about Noah is Jesus said that they ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage. They did all these things. So I could see in the days of Noah, it was a normal lifestyle for people.
Mm-hmm.
There were normal things taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also told during that time, two verses over when we read about Noah, that it says twice that the world was filled with violence.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the normalities of that day, and then we have the abnormalities of that day. Things that were normal, then we have excessive abnormalities, which was a world full of violence.
Yeah.
And you know, just kind of laying the groundwork, we look at this day and age in which we live. Do we live in, you think we live in a violent society? You think we live in a docile society? Or
probably violent, if you watch the news. You talked about that.
If you watch the news, they really promote the violence. And, you know, not saying that's a leading indicator, but it is maybe just some initial evidence we present in court to the judge to say, Judge, we can see that we do see some violence. We do see some things taking place not only in America, but all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these suicide bombers and things taking place in these bus stations and train stations. It doesn't only happen in America. It's happening all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus was more or less, Evan, he just laying the groundwork. He was saying they were a well-conditioned society. They were conditioned to believe one way, and the way they were living was contrary to the law that the Lord had set forth, that he had laid down. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus was doing, he was laying groundwork for the court case, as in the days of Noah. And he was talking about the design of that society. It was very lethal. Uh-huh. It was very harmful. I mean, if you, being a laid back person, as I believe you are, mm-hmm. you know, and you have a world full of violence, and you're not a violent person, it kind of spooks you a little bit. You think, yeah. you know, could it happen to me? If I go into a big mall in Wichita or a big mall in Chicago, do I need to be worried about someone coming in with some type of bomb or gun or whatever? Well, that's how it was in the days of Noah. There were normal people there, but there are also violent people. And when you have that mixture, you have a convoluted society. You have a convoluted belief system. So you have to deal with that. Well, that's what the day of the Lord will do. It will deal with all these things in a sequence of events. Things which will take place. It's kind of like when you give that weather forecast. You can tell the listening audience what to look for.
That's right.
Maybe you're stationed out west of the airport, and you're out there, you're looking for key indicators, so you can call back into the station, say, Charlie, here's what we got out here on radar here. Here's what we got here. Well, it's the same way the day of the Lord. We need those who have the professionalism to say, here's what to look for, as right. in the days of Noah. And that was just the groundwork for what Jesus said next. He said, also, as in the days of Lot.
Uh-huh.
You know anything about Lot?
Mm-mm.
They Lot. There's two cities that come to mind when you think about Lot. Have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Mm-hmm.
Sodom and Gomorrah was during the time of Lot. So what Jesus was doing, he's laying the groundwork, talking about Noah building up into Lot, into Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, if we have a society that is violent, has a tendency to be violent, we have a society that they're still living a normal life, but we have all these abnormalities around them, okay, then what's the next step? What can we expect next? What can the day of Lot teach us about more or less amplifying the days of Noah?
Right.
And so I know we just probably have about 8 minutes left, mm-hmm. but in the coming weeks on the one-on-one, that's what we'll be talking about, Evan. We'll be talking about why the days of Lot was so important. It'll be more of specifics. The Noah was just a basic general an opening argument in court, okay?
Right.
Here's what we got taking place, but then you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of your case, okay?
Uh-huh.
This is why Evan is innocent. This is the evidence we have that mm-hmm. that is proven that Evan is an innocent man.
Right.
So we have to look at the days of Lot. And when we look at the days of Lot, we're getting down where the rubber meets the road. We're looking at your core value, at my core, the core human value. What is Evan made of?
Mm-hmm.
Who is Evan behind the smile, behind his sports knowledge, behind what he does for a living? Who is the real Evan?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the days of Lot does. It'll teach the core value of who we are. Is my life to exist? Is it only here for me to seek after the resource, to gain more, to live in a big house, to drive a nice car? Is that my purpose here on life, or is there a greater purpose?
Right.
And I can learn about that through the days of Lot, because you know, we being humans, Evan, even though we think we know who we are, actually there are things within us that are hidden that we, unless someone pushes your button, you probably had no idea what that was there. Someone might say a certain word or act a certain way toward you, and then you'll kind of respond to that. Well, there's things in us that need to be dealt with, and that's what we do at Wellspring Clinic. We deal with the core individual. Who is that man? Who is that woman? What makes them who they are? And if there are issues that are maybe contrary to who they are created to be, let's deal with these issues. Are there hidden issues of anger? You know, these men and women who go in and do atrocious things. I mean, they harm people. Well, you know, is there some type of anger there? Is something angering our society to make them want to lash out to other people, people who they don't even know? So we want to look at these core values, not only in court, but also as individuals. And that's what we do at Wellspring. We touch upon some of these things we talked about this morning. Plus, we bring it right down to brass tacks. Evan, what is your life made of? Where is your hope at? What are you doing to be a productive citizen, not only mentally and physically, but also spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we tackle there at wellspring. Society is so often we more or less kind of devalue the human resource, and we put value on the natural resource, the money, the gold, the that type of things. But what we do is we want to look at the human resource, because actually all the resources, you think about the resource where it comes from, resource, you know, return resource, it means to return back to the source.
Right.
But so often we make a god out of the resource. So we just have a few minutes, and I do have some sponsors I'd like to plug this morning, Evan, people
sure.
who support us. And one of them is a Davis Family Funeral Home in Dewey. I appreciate their support. They've been by our side ever since our existence, which has been now about 4 years. And I'd like to acknowledge Air Master Bill Oliver. He's a fine heat and air man. I believe his number is 331-8844. That's 331-8844. If people want to get their AC looked at before we hit the warmer weather,
boy,
he'd be a good man.
Yeah.
Might be honest before we know it, hopefully. And then also I'd like to thank the Aaron at Aaron's Performance. He has he's a mechanic, top-notch mechanic. He's right across the street from Wellspring. He's at 137 Southeast Chalwell. Someone has a car problem, tractor problem. He does everything, motorcycles, trucks, whatever. So he's there at 137 Southeast Chalwell. And then finally, K&M Lawn Care. They sharpen chains for chainsaws. I believe they provide maybe firewood. They do the lawn care. They do yard work, light hauling, that type of thing. And they can be reached. The number is 534-8045. That's 534-8045. And when we do have 3 minutes left, and you have any questions or comments or anything going through your mind you'd like to...
I don't. I'm looking forward to the next one. You kind of already did, but maybe preview the next one.
Well, what we'll do is we'll look at Lot. We'll see. We'll find out exactly why Ezekiel, he was a fiery prophet. A lot of these prophets they have in the Bible and in the Old Testament, they didn't, you know, you're known as a sportscaster. Well, you know, you go to a prophet in the Old Testament, they didn't want to be known as a prophet. The Lord's, you know, they knew how to hear from the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, I want you to go speak. I want you to go broadcast to your society and let them know what's going on. And a lot of times the message, it wasn't a popular message. And the kings and those in authority would say, well, who are you, a prophet? And they'd say, no, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a sheep herder. I'm just a farmer, but I have a message to deliver. Well, we'll be looking at more of that in the future. Like Ezekiel, why did he call Jerusalem? You know, Jerusalem, that's God's city. Why did he call Jerusalem? Why did he equate them with sister? He called them, you're like your sister Sodom. I mean, that's a slap in the face, because Sodom was a very wicked society, and his calling them the sister of Sodom. So we'll be looking at that. Why did he call Sodom Jerusalem's sister?
Mm-hmm.
But we go back to the days of Lot. Jesus said, as in the days of Lot. So we need to understand, are the days of Lot, can we equate that with the 21st century? So we'll be looking at things like that. We'll be looking at the other events that will take place. We'll be looking at maybe, you know, it not only affects mankind, how they deal with each other, but we'll be talking about how there will also be strange weather patterns, turbulence in the atmosphere, and that type of thing. Just things that they're unpredictable that we can predict when we look at the days of the Lord and things laid forth in God's Word. So that's some of the things we'll be looking at in the future.
Okay, yep, Day of the Lord.
The Day of the Lord. So if you have a chance, pull up on the internet or open your Bible and just do a little word search. You don't have to go into any depth, but just kind of do a little bit of search. The listening audience, if they want to check it out, and a lot of times, Evan, in the Word of God, it's not called the Day of the Lord. It'll just say, and when you see that day approaching, talks about to the local church, tells the local church in Hebrews, when you see that day approaching, well, it's assumed the Day of the Lord that people want to get hooked up to a local church, because we need support. We need people who are there to support us and encourage us and build up courage in us.
And how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me at 918-397-0284. That's 397-0284. And our address is 132 Southeast Chalwell. That's 132 Southeast Chalwell. And I'll be glad and welcome any calls and anyone who'd drop by and visit with me.
Kurt Mead, Wellspring Life Clinic. Kurt, thanks so much.
Thank you, Evan.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.